Chapter 7, Fire Mist. Gradually, the fiery era draws to its close, as the incarnation of the Solar Logos is perfectly achieved. For the fire on Earth is the body of the fiery mind of God. Deeper he then descends into the material worlds, and water appears. Primordial water is not the liquid known on Earth, but rather that inherent principle of water innate in every form. This inner element is the manifestation and the expression in the physical world of the feeling consciousness of God. It is the outward garb of divine emotion. The element of water mingles with the element of fire, and from that union the fire mist is formed. The sun and its major centers become enveloped and enshrouded in vast and rolling clouds of fire mist. The system is filled from side to side with vaporous and streaming clouds, which provide a vehicle for God feeling, through which he becomes incarnate throughout the whole of his new formed evolutionary field. Amid the rolling clouds, the seven mighty ones still stand around their parent Lord, still wield his mighty power, and maintain the order and the law which presently will be made manifest throughout his wide domains. Chapter 8, The Descent of Will. Long eons pass, in which the will of God descends from those lofty realms in which omnipotence abides. His almighty will descends through all worlds, until at last the fire and the water receive his potency. It is as a spear of light, a shaft of burning fire, white with the intense glow of the solar flame. The shaft of will enters the sun, and, meeting the whirling clouds of vapor and of fire, bursts into countless myriads of fragments, which fly as from some cosmic volcano, outwards through fire and steam to the very confines of the solar worlds. Each fragment leaves behind a line of light, marking the pathway through which it flies. Rebounding from the densest worlds, the fragment returns, traveling along its outward path. The will of the Supreme, who is thus dismembered, that his worlds may live, is the very self of the Solar Logos. He enters the sun as spiritual will, one with universal will, an expression of cosmic unity, and eternal selfhood. Within the center of the sun, that unity is lost. That self is sacrificed. The one becomes the many. The universal life is sacrificed, that solar life may be. The single shaft becomes myriads of shafts, each raying outwards from the sun. Thus is he fully incarnate within the worlds which he has made. The very self of Godhood is now made manifest within the solar egg. The Divine Spirit has entered into the growing form. The solar Logos has taken up his station in the sun. His mighty power is traveling throughout all worlds. The rhythm of his life is playing upon all growing forms, and by that rhythm he will ultimately assume the mastery of every form. Under the impulse of his descending and ascending will, the denser worlds are formed. Fire and water are compressed by that resistless stream to form the heart of the densest solid world. The very core of rock, of jewel, and of all material of that densest world is as a fragment of the will of God, which is also enclosed within his vesture of his feeling and his thought. The realms of emotion and of mind, each fragment is a life, each shaft of will a link, by which the lowest and the highest worlds are joined. At no one point along that shaft does the fragment stand still. Eternal motion is behind all form. Eternal rhythm governs the making of the form, its shape, its color, and its density. Will, thought, feeling, these are the ultimate bases upon which all physical worlds are built. Will, thought, feeling, motion, rhythm, these are the fivefold principles which rule the creation of all worlds. Yet none is separate from the others. All are one. All are expressions of that one divine eternal life which now is incarnate in every form. Friends, I will read that wonderful paragraph again. Will, thought, feeling, motion, rhythm, these are the fivefold principles which rule the creation of all worlds. Yet none is separate from the others. All are one. All are expressions of that one divine eternal life which now is incarnate in every form. God breathes out and worlds appear. He breathes in, and all worlds disappear. The out-breathing and in-breathing are continuous and rhythmical. All worlds are repeatedly created and destroyed. There is no moment when his life stands still. There is no time in which a form remains unchanged. Within the heart of every form and of every fragment of every form exists the rhythmic beat of the one life. The controlling power of the one thought and the cohesion of the one feeling, which is love divine. These are the soul of all things natural, the essence of nature, the eternal reality behind all ever-changing forms. Thus has the Logos breathed forth the breath of his life and filled the growing forms of his solar system with the innermost essence of his highest self. The 12 great centers of fire, enclosed in vaporous clouds, grow denser as the eons pass, and in their order, one by one, the solid worlds appear. Born out of fire mist and impregnated by the fiery will of God. I see, friends, that I have a footnote concerning the 12 great centers of fire. It reads, referring to the number 12, presumably the true number of planets in the solar system. Chapter 9, The One Mind. The fire recedes, and molten liquid covers each globe until a solid crust appears and hides the fiery heart from view. Deep within beats and burns its fiery life, the source of its internal power. Each such planet is as a sun, encased in solid earth, for the central fire is still a portion of the solar fire. And in the invisible worlds, the two are one. The sun is the parent, the planet the offspring. Yet indeed, the twain are one. For there is but one mind throughout the whole. So also is there but one fire, which is the expression of that mind. The mind of God is all-pervading. The fire of God is omnipresent. For fire and mind are one. Thus, at the very heart of nature, of every globe, and of every sun, resides the one mind. divine intelligence, ordering all things, exerts its power from within. The one mind sleeps deeply in the chaos from which cosmos is born. The one mind dreams when a solar system is brought into being. The fire and the fire mist were the substance of those dreams. The flashing tongues of flame, the rolling clouds, show that the dreamer is awake. When fire and water have been united, and their offspring, the element of earth, appears, the one mind is at last active and alert, eternally vigilant, and ceaselessly at work. The one mind now directs the whole creation towards the fulfillment of the purpose of the one will. Now is incarnate. The long night is past. The dawn has fled and it is day. Divine intelligence is established in its worlds as suns, as solar lords, and as planets with their fiery hearts. Thenceforth, the long and unbroken progression of events moves forward irresistibly. The impetus which brought the system into being now serves to carry on the work for which that system was designed. Eternal mind asleep is now eternal mind awake. Being awake, it is also eternal mind at work. The solar system is its workshop, the sevenfold powers its tools. Chapter 10. The sowing of the seeds. Perhaps I might explain the word seeds briefly, for the term seed is used in this book figuratively and not, of course, in its purely physical sense. In his innermost and highest spiritual existence, man is regarded as a component unit within the spiritual essence of the universe. And so certain terms are used, like monad, spark, seed, and the immortal germ, to refer to the divine, infinite potentialities within the highest aspect of human nature. And the angel teacher in this chapter 10 now uses this word seeds. I continue. As divine intelligence, the one mind is immanent throughout the fields of solar space, now ready for the planting of the seeds and the appearance of the husbandmen. The spiritual seeds emerge from the divine transcendence and are cast by the hand of the heavenly sower into his fields. Within the seeds, both divine transcendence and divine immanence are stored. within each seed is hidden deep a sun, and in that sun an essence, which, when the harvesting is done, will have become a solar lord. Through countless eons, the seeds have been stored within the heavenly granary of the Supreme, and there, preserved by him throughout the long night of his solar repose, they have been stored. Now, at last, the time has come for a new sowing in new fields, in order that the seeds may become suns, and in their turn beget seeds with their indwelling solar lords, who shall beget still further seeds, they in their turn begetting throughout infinity of time. The indwelling life, which has lain asleep within the seeds, is now awake and vibrant with the power of the transcendent God. Then do the husbandmen appear. Each one is a great archangel who leaps forth, full-formed, from the heart of the Supreme. Each owns allegiance to that one of the mighty seven, with whom, in solar systems long ago dissolved, he climbed the ladder of heavenly progress to reach the lofty rung on which he stands. Glorious indeed are these heavenly tillers of the fields of God, awe-inspiring in their majesty, resistless in their power, embodiments of the divine love, which dwells forever in the heart, from which they have come forth. They have overcome the limitations of all worlds and attained to the mastery of all laws. They have transcended all material life and now come forth to serve as heavenly messengers from the spiritual to the physical, as links between the immanent and the transcendent God. Divine in their potency, omniscient in their knowledge, they live but to do the will of that from which originally they sprang. Below them, in their serried ranks, appear their lesser brethren, forming the angelic cohorts of our Lord the Son, his ministers and messengers, the Devic servants of the Supreme. It is the will of God that from the seeds the great archangels sow, man shall appear. For within man alone, among the myriads who shall throng the new created worlds, divine will, divine thought, and divine emotion serve as links between the spiritual and the material worlds. Man alone, throughout the solar system, is the true microcosm. For in him alone, all spiritual potentialities, all aspects of the deity, all states of consciousness, all densities of matter. All these combine to make an embryonic God. Therefore, all seeds are human seeds. All beings developed from the seeds must one day become men. The Solar Lord himself is archetypal man. All men are as his seed. All men will one day climb the mighty stairway, which shall lead them to that throne of light and life and power on which rests from age to age God, the omnipotent Solar King, the Lord of all creation, Father of all men. Armed with this knowledge, inspired by the Father's will, the great archangel husbandmen come forth to sow the seeds. Chapter 11, The Nature of the Seeds. And if I may just introduce it, in this chapter, the angel teacher refers to the divine units, the monads of men, as seeds, and describes the method of their projection into the evolutionary field, with its seven successive degrees of density. An analogy, you will notice, between the monad as immortal germ and a physical seed is employed. Here is chapter 11. On earth, a seed, organic, is but a single life, a unit, from which multiplicity shall spring. Within the spiritual worlds, a divine seed, germ of power, wisdom, and intelligence, destined to unfold as man, and later as perfect man, projects a shaft of light as an arrow shot from heaven to earth. Having issued forth, it leaves behind a trail of light which lives, and pulsing, links the arrow to the hand which held the bow. The monadic seed is triple in its nature and springs from the threefold Logos whose life it bears. The monadic seed enters the material worlds to form a single seed and yet remains eternally united with that life from which it was sent forth. The connecting shaft, composed of spiritual power, love, and knowledge, divine potency, supreme wisdom, and all-embracing intelligence. The connecting shaft pierces through the seven worlds, cutting a glowing pathway as it descends. The archangelic husbandman, attached to the pulsing line of light, an atom of each successive world through which it passes. These atoms selected by an angel's hand, are thus charged, are then charged with the power of the shaft. In its own world, each such atom remains the vehicle for the spiritual power of the seed. Thus, on the shining beam, or the shaft, 7 atomic vortices appear, through which the power descends until the lowest world is reached. That lowest world is solid earth, the dense material crust, which now serves to hide the glowing solar fire from view. There, at the outermost limits of the solar field, the descent of power comes to an end. The sevenfold sowing is completed. So also, the totality of the seeds or monads, apportioned to each globe by the spiritual husbandman, the solar lord, project their monadic rays, to each of which the atoms are similarly attached. In every world, angels serve as guardians of both shafts and seeds. Eon after eon, with timeless and tireless devotion, their task is perfectly performed. Hitherto, it may be recalled, the power in the seeds has lain dormant throughout long ages. Only the rhythmic pulse of the one life was visible. The gods to be lay deep sunk in the realm of latency, dwelt in the hidden world, which is the inner mind of God. That vast region in which the future and the past are one. There, within the solar womb, hid from all external light, in the realm of the unmanifest, the myriad races, which will be the products of the solar fields, waited for the hour of their birth to strike. That epoch in which their forthgoing and return would begin. Chapter 12. Again, may I introduce, for it is recognized that the forthgoing of the monad-bearing life wave into the evolutionary field, called involution, and its return to the source, evolution, followed by rest, are impersonal expressions of cosmic law. Nevertheless, the lofty intelligence, such as a solar logos, who directs the procedure, is assumed to be concerned with the welfare of the resultant beings. Now, the angel teacher continues. Chapter 12, The Awakening of the Seeds. Meanwhile, the angels guard the seeds. Meanwhile, the power pulses through the shafts of light until at last, the task of planting all his fields is ended, and the early labors of the heavenly husbandman, the God of love, draw to a close. Divine love is incarnate in the seeds, pulses through the shafts, and from that heart of the Supreme, from which the seeds came forth, inspires the angelic hosts to perform their age-long task. Divine love is now imminent throughout the solar fields. None can escape the shelter of the everlasting arms. Naught is outside the all-embracing love of God. Thus, throughout the eons of time, throughout the millennia of years in which the solar fields are formed, tilled, and prepared for the planting of the seeds, the angelic hosts, who are the embodiments of perfect love, stand on guard, protecting the seeds. Divine intelligence labored to produce the field. Divine love brought forth the seeds. Divine will at last awakens them. The fructifying power of the Supreme descends within the myriad shafts and combines therein with perfect love and perfect intelligence to fertilize the seeds. The outpouring of divine omnipotence binds more closely each to each, the supreme progenitor and the offspring of his mind and his love. The shafts of light expand and shine with a new brilliance, vibrate with a new power, sound forth new notes. The primordial sound by which the archetypes of every form were brought into being now grows richer, swells to more glorious tones as the divine omnipotence enriches primeval forms. Each shaft becomes as an organ pipe and begins to sound forth that note by which it shall take its appointed place in the glorious harmony of solar life. Each monadic seed, and so each shaft, has its own note. Each is pregnant with that creative word which one day the God deep hidden in the seed will utter in his turn when he becomes a solar lord, himself the progenitor of solar seeds. That future splendor, that creative life, is already present in the light that shines from within the seed, is foretold in the note which issues from the shaft. The angels sing the glory of the solar source, hymn the unawakened splendor of the seeds. Until All worlds are echoing and vibrating with the beauty of their song. They too are seeds, embodiments of perfect love. They too have fixed their shining eyes upon that future which awaits them, when they shall perform the creative labors which now they glorify by song. Thus, all creation sings. All worlds echo the heavenly song. All space vibrates with the solar oratorio, which the supreme musician plays eternally upon the keyboard of that organ, meaning the material universe, physical and superphysical, upon the keyboard of that organ, which he continually creates. Celestial choirs of countless myriads of shining ones become the living embodiments of his song. As the solar fields come into being, his voice is heard through the fire mist and the flame. Even the solid crust of earth, which forms the globes on which his life shall incarnate, is vibrant with his song. The flaming fire at the heart of every globe and the Devic lords of fire are filled with heavenly harmonies and sound forth eternally the voice of the Supreme. The seeds thus emerge from the heart of love eternal, accompanied by song. The angels chant slow and solemn measures as they take up their stations in his worlds and fulfill their appointed tasks as guardians of the seeds. At the heart of manifested life, there lives a song. Sound is the one reality. Music, the expression of that supernal beauty, which he mirrors forth in all his worlds. The solar system is as a symphony, and each created being is a song, sung by the Lord of Life, who is both composer and performer of the celestial music, sounding forth through all his worlds. The lightning-like descent of the Supreme Will evokes new beauty, adds new splendor to the symphony, as if the divine musician drew out a new stop of the solar organ on which he plays. The shafts tremble, the seeds awake, as the sleeping divinity within them stirs at the fiery kiss of the omnipotent God. Chapter 13. The Mother of All Worlds. May I just introduce by saying that the feminine aspect of deity is here personified as an active power, a divine embodiment of the feminine principle in all nature, God the Mother, who participates in the formation and the development of the material universe, and, yes, is also a spiritual guardian of human souls. Here the angel continues. A new epoch in the life of the solar logos is now opened. A new aspect of his threefold nature finds expression through the awakened seeds. At last, the inmost essence is revealed with increasing fullness. The very selfhood of the Logos begins to shine forth. The Queen of heaven and of earth, of fire, sea, and sky, bride of her solar lord, consort of the supreme, rises from his side to share with him his solar task. Hitherto one, they now assume duality in order that the seeds may be fit garbed in the many worlds through which they shall evolve. Fire recedes. Earth, air, and water appear. The beauteous goddess, one with nature, begins to paint the picture of her splendor upon the canvas of the evolving worlds. She is the mother of all worlds, the producer of all forms, and the spiritual guardian of all men. She is both immanent and transcendent, as is her solar lord, and she imparts a measure of her life to all living things. Within every atom, in every world, the eternal duality, the male and female aspects of the supreme, is manifest. The monadic seeds are offsprings of the solar king and queen, are pervaded by their life, partake of their essence, contain within themselves in embryo the full power and splendor of their royal parentage. The mother of all worlds appears, and growth begins, for she represents the principle of growth. Hers is the influence within the seed, which, entering into primeval protoplasm, produced organic life. She is the indwelling maternity, incarnate in primordial substance. She assumes her garment of manifestation, her body of material life, and by her immanence, she imparts the power of growth to all substance within the solar fields. without her presence. The fertilizing power of the solar will could not be made manifest. For the blending of the solar life with the principle of maternity, of which she is the embodiment, this blending is essential to the process of growth. Thus, she is the goddess mother of all worlds, the queen of heaven, the mother of all men. First, she awakens the myriads of her devic children, the nature spirits, the undines, the sylphs, the salamanders and the gnomes, and calls them to share her task as fashioner and adorner of the many garments which the awakening gods within the seas shall wear. Aided by these her servants, the myriad builders of all forms, the younger brethren of the angelic hosts, she produces the first living cells. Chapter 14. Archetypal forms. Cosmic, universal, solar. The mother of all worlds builds according to the archetypes displayed before her within the vast laboratory of the solar mind. There she sees the models by which all building must be done. There exists the perfect shape of each living thing, the ideal of each form, from atom to archangel, from mineral to globe, from nature spirit to landscape god. There too, made visible to her all-seeing eyes, are the beginning and the end, the first form and the last, with all the stages of their growth which lie between. Each archetypal form serves both as model and as molding power by which the evolution of all forms and the unfolding of all life are ruled. These, the solar logos, received in part from his progenitor, and even he and all his mighty system emanated from a seed. He, too, is the product of a mightier sowing in the universal field. And behind this again is the cosmic source of all that lives. One basic form exists, the cosmic prototype of universal forms, according to which all solar forms are made. This, their primordial mold, is neither cube nor sphere, nor pentagon, yet contains within itself the essence and possibility of all forms. To mortal eyes, 'tis no form, but rather a point, from which rays of light stream outward, each ray a force, each force producing colour and sound. This cosmic archetype is the moulding power, shaping every form in every world. The outward raying light and the echoing sound penetrate all systems and all worlds. Light and sound are expressions of the cosmic immanence, the manifestation of the parent cosmic life. The solar logos, modeler of the infinitely small and the infinitely great, is himself a product of that cosmic life. As the divine intelligence, he labors ceaselessly, taking his place in the hierarchy of modelers, continually producing and perfecting the ultimate physical expression throughout nature of archetypal forms. The mother of all worlds, assisted by her countless hosts of builders, receives from divine intelligence the model for every form which she builds. Thus, when the first cell is made and inspired with her maternal life, that cell is formed according to the dictates of divine intelligence and rendered fruitful by the divine will. Under these influences, it grows until the limit of its growth is reached, whereupon it separates. For the duality, which is the product of divine will and of divine maternity, that duality is reflected in the first cell. The cell divides. The twain are separated. In each, the heavenly pair, the masculine and feminine aspects of the manifested deity, the twain are incarnate, and thereby growth proceeds. New forms appear, produced by the aggregation of the cells. Each form, modeled in its turn, according to the archetype, within the Creator's mind. The new life, arising from the seeds, will dwell within the form. Through them, that life will be unfolded and its destiny fulfilled.